One thing to put on your guys' radar in a couple weeks when we flip this auditorium is you guys are like creatures of habit. You're going to have to find a new seat. I cannot wait to see how early people get here in a couple weeks to claim their seats. To fear or not to fear, that's the question we're going to ask this morning. And according to ChatGPT, this is what it means to fear. See if you agree with this. It says fear is a complex and innate emotional response to a perceived threat or danger. It's a fundamental aspect of the human and animal psychology that has evolved to protect. It's a protective mechanism to help individuals respond to situations that may pose harm. It says when faced with a threat, the body activates the fight or flight response. I'm sure you've heard of that. Releasing stress hormones like adrenaline, which prepare the body to either confront the danger or flee from it. It says fear can manifest in various forms, such as anxiety, apprehension, or outright terror, depending on the nature and intensity of the perceived threat. It can be triggered by real, immediate dangers or by imagined potential threats. It goes on to say, additionally, fear is not only a psychological experience, but also has psychological and behavioral components influencing both mental and physical states. While fear serves its purpose in survival, it can also become unbalanced when it is excessive, irrational, or persistent, leading to anxiety disorders or other mental health issues. John talked a little bit about that last week. Says, understanding and managing fear is an essential aspect of the emotional well-being and personal development. The reality is, fear is real, and fear can be crippling. And I'll be honest, though, there are some aspects of fear I really, really like. And I've said this many times over the year, I love to scare people. I mean, it is a joy of mine. And at least once a week, if we're driving along in the car with the kids and it's dead silent, I've said this before, I will literally just go, bang, as loud as I can. I got some of you right there, didn't I? And that brought me great joy. And without me even asking, they'll just say something like, you got me, or you got me really good. It gets a little shoulder shake or a body shake. I love it. I laugh every time. If I get caught up in a real loop in my phone, 9 times out of 10, I'm watching people get scared. The Florida Bushman is one of my favorites. Craig, who's just up here, might be the easiest human in the world to scare. Somebody scared him this morning when we were in a meeting, and it brought me great joy even there. Sometimes I'll scare him so bad, I feel like I have to apologize, and I'll say, I am so sorry I enjoyed that so much. And that's true. I'm going to share a real-life story, and I need a little umbrella of grace right now. That just means no judgment, okay? You guys, you with me? No judgment, real life story. When my son, who's the youngest, was little, he was the only one that did this. He used to climb out of his crib at night. The only one. We couldn't solve the problem, so I had a brilliant idea. I said, what we'll do is we'll put Dalton to sleep. I'll sneak into the room. I'll hide underneath that crib. And I'll put the scariest Halloween mask that I can find on. And when he climbs out of that crib and his feet hit the floor, I will scare that boy like he has never been scared before. Now, I knew this would solve the crawling out of the crib problem. No questions asked. I also understood that this would create a whole list of new problems. But I thought it was worth the risk. So one night, we put him to bed. And I quietly sneak underneath this crib. And I can hear him wrestling. I didn't do any of that. I did have the thought, though. I did not scare him. I went against my instincts, mainly because Gianna, my wife, said not to do it. But boy, that would have been fun. Maybe I'll do it to my grandkids. Well, today we're going to talk about the fear of the Lord. But unlike some of the stories, personal stories I shared, not that kind of fear at all. But before we jump into what the Bible actually has to say about that, let's pray. And while we got our eyes shut, I promise not to scare you. Will you pray with me? God, thanks. Thanks for the humor and the joy that I get at other people's expense. But in all seriousness, Lord, would you just come right now with the power of your Holy Spirit? And would you prepare our hearts and our minds for what you have for us? Would you begin to shift and change us to become more like you this morning? Help today, our Sunday, impact our Monday. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning. My name is Andy. If this is your first time joining us online or in person, thanks so much for joining us. We're glad you're here. We are in a series, Just Tell Me What to Do. It's a series where we're going to be looking at a few ways that we get the advice of culture that tells us one thing and the Bible tells us another, and it kind of clashes. And what can happen is, because that gets confusing, we can treat it like a smorgasbord. Like, I like a little this from culture, I like a little this from the Bible, and we create our own theology or belief system, and that's really dangerous. So our attempt is to just tell you what to do. Or maybe a better way of saying is just tell you what the Bible says. And some of the language around this series title is based around that idea that sometimes we just want to be told what to do. God, just give me the answer. Just tell me what to do. Tell me exactly how to approach this problem. Tell me the solutions to this problem. What's the things, like the to-do list? But sadly, the scriptures that we read aren't necessarily that direct. Some of them are. And if we only look to culture to define what fear is as it relates to God, then we're going to view this kind of fear like we have seen in our culture, maybe even experienced in our own lives. Because fear has been used to abuse, right? We've seen this over and over. I'm sure you've heard stories, maybe you've experienced these things where people use their titles, their position in a company to instill fear in their employees or their peers. Fear has been used to sexually harass people. Fear has been used to manipulate and take advantage of people. Fear has created anxiety and stress in and beyond the workplace. Fear in our culture is used more like a weapon to get what we want. Fear is, if it were a tool, we might say it was a hammer, right? And we pull it out of our toolbox when we want to intimidate somebody to get what we want or to get our way. And nobody's really immune to using this tool. As parents, it's one of the tools we often pull out of that toolbox to get our kids to do what we want, right? We instill fear in them. And I hate to say I've used this tool, and I hate to also admit that I use it more than I'd like to, and I regret it every time I've ever used it. It certainly isn't a tool that you use to build relationships with. It just tears them down. And that's the thing about a hammer, right? It can be used to tear something down or build something beautiful. So let's see what Scripture has to say about fear and how this tool is actually used in and with God. We're going to be looking at the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs contain mostly poetry along with some narrative sections. And it's divided into three parts. So the first 9 chapters contain 10 speeches about virtue, integrity, and generosity. Chapters 10 through 29 are a collection of wise sayings about life. And the last couple of chapters explore fearing the Lord, personified by Lady Wisdom. And Proverbs doesn't waste any time in this first book talking about the fear of the Lord. So let's jump into Proverbs. It'll be on the screen if you're following along in your Bibles. It's Proverbs chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible of your own, you'd like one, again, they're in that hallway. Absolutely free. You can go grab one now or on your way out. This is what it says. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. So we see what all this is laid out for. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. So let's just pause here for a minute. We see the first few verses of Proverbs is for receiving instructions in how we act, how we live life, for gaining knowledge, for listening and learning, for discernment and guidance. So let's just ask ourselves some questions. Who wants instructions on how to live life, right? How about knowledge, learning to listen well and add to our learning? Anybody want any of that? Yeah. Anyone want discernment and guidance? Me too. I'm right there with you. So how do we start? How do we do this? Let's look at the very next verse. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. In other words, it's where it all starts. Without the fear of the Lord, we will not gain true knowledge, wisdom, and instruction. that Proverbs and ultimately God has for us. Commentators often refer to verse 7 in Proverbs as the motto of the whole book. A motto in a book is a sentence or a phrase adopted representing the character and substance of the book as a whole. Not only is this verse the motto of the book, which expresses its overall theme, it's also the first occurrence of a two-line saying, which you'll see repeated over and over in Proverbs, which is the most typical structure in unit in the whole book. There's a clear contrast between two lines in this saying. Knowledge, or the person who wants to gain knowledge, is contrasted with fools who do not care for it. Right? The contrast is where the essential meaning and impact of the saying lie. The parallel expressions that come at the beginning of each of these lines, however, are not equivalent in meaning. That is, wisdom and instruction are an expression of fear and honor towards the Lord. This is the essential outlook of the wisdom kind of school. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, it said. Fear in relation to God's expression, you see this range of meanings in the Old Testament. Let me point out a few. In the book of Job, in chapter 37, mortals are in terror and dread of God's punishment. In Exodus chapter 9, Moses tells the king of Egypt that he will stop the thunder and hail, even though the king and his people are not yet afraid of the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter 26, fear has a sense of obedience. In the case of Abraham, after he showed his willingness to sacrifice his own son and obey God, the angel of the Lord said to him, "Stop, I know that you fear God," which indicates Abraham's trust in God. And throughout Proverbs, the fear of the Lord means to respect and believe God. Now, although this includes worship, fear of the Lord doesn't end there. It goes on. It radiates from our adoration and devotion, which we talked a lot about in the last series, to our everyday conduct and sees each moment as the Lord's time. It sees each relationship as the Lord's opportunity, each duty as the Lord's command, and each blessing as the Lord's gift. It's a new way of looking at life and seeing life as it is meant to be viewed through God's perspective. Beginning means more than commencement, although it does mean that. And there's nothing in the Bible that classifies as true knowledge that does not commence with awe and lead to action. But the beginning is also culminative. So it continues on. The Hebrew root here is an offshoot to the root word head, suggesting that it is first in importance in a line of things. It's the very first thing that we start with. The point is not that we begin our quest for knowledge by just fearing God, right? And then venture forward to be made perfect. That's not what it means at all. The point is that obeying God is the ceiling as well as the foundation of life. Fear should lead to knowledge, and in turn, all knowledge should enhance it. Fools here, we talked about praying like monks, living like fools. Like, wait a minute, we just talked about fools. That's not what we're talking about. That series was all about being a fool for Christ. John Wimber, the founder of the Vineyard Movement, used to have a sign that said, "I'm a fool for Christ. Whose fool are you?" That's that kind of fool. This fool that we're talking about here in Proverbs is those who choose not to follow God's way. They disrupt society. They shame their families. They bear the dreadful consequences of all of their own decisions. They think they know better. Wisdom and instructions are not only ignored, they're totally devalued by the fool. This is why they're called fools. Their basic lack is not because they're not intelligent. It doesn't because they lack educational opportunity. It's not because they don't have positive examples. The picture of the typical wise person, on the contrary, is very careful. They're slightly reserved. They're hardworking citizens is kind of how the book would outline that. They're diligent in building up their small kind of farm to support their family and then take care of those that are less fortunate. As it stands here, it affirms that the fear of the Lord is the first step toward attaining a knowledge of wisdom and practicing the lifestyle which wisdom upholds. The phrase fear of the Lord implies not the anxiety, not the dread, but rather this unwavering devotion to the God of Israel. Fools, on the contrary, despise wisdom and instruction. Just as a wise person in this book is one who's willing and anxious to learn, a fool is one who cannot be told anything. They're difficult. They're conceited oftentimes. They only learn their lessons the hard way, if they learn them at all. They often repeat the same mistakes over and over. So then how does this work, right? What does this look like in our own lives? I believe to fully understand what fear of the Lord means as it relates to Proverbs, we have to first understand the awe of the Creator. We have to have this first knowledge. We have to understand and believe how and why we were ever created. This is in Psalms 139, it says, "For you, all of us, you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb, every one of us. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." So first, we must know and understand and believe that we were knit together. We weren't made by a mistake. None of us are a mistake. We're here for a purpose. God created you for a purpose. He knit you together for a reason. We praise him because we were fearfully and wonderfully made as one of God's kids. Fearfully here does not imply being afraid. Rather, it suggests a sense of awe and reverence of the Creator. Wonderfully emphasizes the marvel and the uniqueness of God's creation. That's you and that's me. We're each unique. We need to recognize the divine craftsmanship in our formation. We are created in his image. And that, for some of us, can be really hard to really to take in, to understand, to believe. It's been hard for me at times. That's part of my journey. I did not like the guy that I saw in the mirror. I did not believe I was wonderfully made. I questioned a lot of things in my life, and it took me on a journey. It led me to Christ. And because of that journey, I learned the awe and the respect of who Jesus is, and that, man, he really did create me for a reason. I am not a mistake. I am more confident in who God's created me to be now than I've ever been. But that doesn't mean I always get it right. But it does mean I know who I am in Christ. And I know who I used to be. And when I have those seasons or moments of doubt, I just remind myself, I tell myself, that is not who I am. That's who I used to be, but it's not who I am today. Then the fear of the Lord, the awe of God, the respect he deserves and demands, the belief in who he is, what he's done, you know, globally and certainly in my own specific life, what he's doing and what he can still do reminds me. It fuels me. And this is where it all starts. When we have the correct view of God, we begin to understand who he is. We understand that we're better able to see how foolish the pursuits of the flesh are. Listen to how the Message Paraphrase Bible translates Proverbs 1:7, the motto of the book. It says, "Start with God. The first step in learning is bowing down to God. Only fools thumb their noses at such wisdom and learning." I mean, if we want to be wise, the place to begin is in reverence of God and in trusting and obeying him. Let's look at it again in the NIV. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Fear, again, is the beginning. Beginning here renders the words used in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning. In this verse, it's the starting point without which nothing else can follow. So where do we start? With God. When's a good time to start? Right now. What about tomorrow when we start our day? When is a good time to start with God? At the beginning. In the beginning. And we know this, right? This is not a knowledge problem. But knowledge and information aren't the same as revelation. And until we come to know, love, respect, and believe in Jesus, we're going to continue to live foolish lives. People who turn their noses at wisdom and good advice, or people who look down on wisdom and instruction. If we truly love Jesus, if we live a life of reverence, a life of respect and honor, a life in pursuit of Jesus, a life that shows our love to Jesus, then we will trust Jesus with our years, with our months, with our weeks, with our days, and certainly our moments. Let's look at it all again in one reading. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, all in biblical, God-loving terms, for giving prudence to those who are simple. This is how you live life, knowledge, discretion to the young. Let the wise listen, we're good listeners. Let them add to their learning, we're always a learner, that's what a disciple is. Let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, where it all starts. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. The awe of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise that. Trusting in the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Another way to say it, but fools despise trusting in God. Respect of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise respecting God. The pursuit of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise that pursuit. The love of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise the loving God. Our faith in Jesus, our trust in Jesus, in his plans for our lives, where it starts. We are promised that if we start with fear, the reverence, the belief, the awe, the respect, the pursuit, and the love of God first, then we will gain. It's the byproduct. Then we will gain knowledge and wisdom in our lives. And we are changed. When I get my hair cut, I always pray for the person cutting my hair. Like, not out loud, but just intuitively. Like, man, how many people does this person get to see and touch every day and have the opportunity to pray over? And I can remember once, years ago, getting my hair cut, and we got the, you know, what do you do for a living? Eventually comes up, I'm a pastor. We start talking about church, and I go to this church, and I go, well, what do you like about that church? It makes me feel like I'm a better person. I was like, ugh. Like, yes, but no, right? Like, when we love Jesus well, when we do this and it starts first, the byproduct of that is we're better people. But that's, you know, I don't want to be a better person. That's not my end game. My end game is to love Jesus. He'll change me. Then I'll be a better person. And we're changed that way. But not by the promises we make to God, right? We're changed by believing, living, and walking out the promises God made to us. There's a difference there. It starts with our view of God. And we can live our lives as a know-it-all. That's what a fool does. Someone who decides, I know it all. I know what I need to do. I know what's right for me. I know what the next step is. Or we can live our lives as a learn-it-all. Someone who wants to learn more, gain more knowledge about God and his ways. One leads to wisdom, the other leads to a life of a fool. And both places have a beginning. One starts with the self, that's the life of a fool. Me first, I know. Doing what we want, what we know. The other starts with God. It starts with the fear, the respect, the worship, the pursuit, the belief, and the love of God. Which one will we choose? The life of a fool or the life of the wise? The life of the fearful follower, an awe-inspired view of God. Which one will you choose today? Which one will you choose tomorrow? Which one will you choose when the moments are tough, when the storms of life come? And storms come. You're either in one, you're coming out of one, or you're going into one. Right? That's just the reality of life. And all storms calm. And do you want to be a wise person that goes, I want to listen for God's voice in the midst of the storm? Or do you want to try to figure it out and try to row yourself out of the storm? That is an exhausting fight. The fear of the Lord, the awe of God, the reverence of who he is and what he's done. We talked a little bit about that in the last series. That's what Proverbs is talking about when it talks about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, is our right view of him. He is God. We are not. Grab your Connect cards that Craig talked about. If you don't have one or didn't get one in your program, there are some in the seat backs in front of you. I just want to encourage you to write your name minimally, fill out a next step. God has a next step for you. I believe it. Actually, I know it. He wants to speak something to you. He wants to remind you of something. He wants to challenge you in something. Just write that down. If it doesn't match ours, that's okay. Drop it in the offering when it goes by. But we're going to offer some next steps. The first one is this. Accept Jesus for the first time. Maybe today's the day that you have the correct view of God. You have that true fear of God. And again, that is just the awe-inspiring love pursuit of who Jesus is, what Jesus has done, and what Jesus can still do. If you've made that decision today, the Bible says then you repent. You repent from living the life in your own terms as a fool, as we're talking about this morning. And you say, I repent. Forgive me for my sins. And the sins is anything that's against Scripture. Not just all the bad things, right? Like we all sin every day. It should be a part of our daily thing is to repent for all the things, known and unknown. We say, God, I'm sorry that I tried to be the author of my life. I repent of that. I give it to you. And we turn to God. Repentance is you turn away. You simply say, God, I'm giving you my life. I want you to guide my life. If you made that decision, write that in your Connect card, drop it in the offering, and we'll follow up with you. Make sure you get some free resources on your way out. The second is our memory verse. Another few weeks of this memory verse, and then we'll get another one. We do one each quarter, but it's the Lord's Prayer. We walked through most of this in the last series, so I encourage you, if you missed any of that, go back and listen to it. But it's this. Then, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We start with our Father. It's the beginning again, right? God, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So all the things that are happening in the kingdom, bring them here in heaven. Bring them to earth. Give us today our daily bread. We talked about the daily needs and wants. Forgive us our debts as we've also forgiven our debtors. So forgiveness. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Great prayer to write on your heart. The application today is begin today and every day with the fear. Right? The respect, the worship, the pursuit, love of God. When you think back to that message translation, I'm going to read it one more time for us. It says, start with God. That's the beginning. The first step in learning is bowing down to God. I love the imagery of that. I don't do that enough in my own posture in life. Bowing down. Boy, if you were terrified of somebody, you wouldn't put yourself in that position, that vulnerable position. But we have a loving God that we're in awe of and respect. What a beautiful picture to bow down before our Heavenly Father, offering him our whole life in respect, waiting for his response. Just love that picture. Start with God. The first step in learning is bowing down to God. Only fools thumb their noses at such wisdom and learning. But there's part of you even in like, I'm never going to bow down. To quote Mr. T, I pity the fool. I pity the fool that wouldn't just open themselves up to that idea of bowing down before our Heavenly Father. That reverence. That physical posture. Maybe that's hard for you to do. I'm not asking you to do this concrete floor, but find a space maybe this week at your house that's comfortable and just put yourself in that position, that posture. And say, God, I love you. I'm in awe of all you've done and all you're doing. Begin to work Maybe use that prayer model that we talked about in the Praying Like Monks series. The fourth next step is to receive prayer. You can do that lots of ways. You can email us at prayer@blueashcc.com. You can write your email or your prayer requests on this connect card, drop it in the offering. Our prayer teams get that. Our staff gets that. We pray over those every staff meeting. It's an honor to do that. I think the best way to do it, to receive prayer this morning, is actual physical prayer teams. They'll be in the back and be honored to pray for anything that's going on in your life. Maybe that's the correct view of him. Maybe you need healing. There's tremendous healings stories that we could share that have happened not just this year, but years past. God is continuing to heal. Maybe you just need to be blessed. We'd love to pray a blessing. Maybe you have a praise report. We'd love to hear that, where God has shown up and we just want to say more of that, Lord. Maybe you find yourself going into a storm. Maybe you're in a storm. Maybe you're coming out of one. And you just want God's, you want to hear God's whisper. You want to hear his voice. You want to hear his direction. Continue to dive into scripture as well. But I encourage you to go back and receive prayer. We're going to go ahead and receive our offering and your connect cards if you want to drop those in. Again, thank you for continued support for all that God's doing in this place. If you want to grab your communion elements that you received on your way in, and if you didn't grab one, you can grab one now. We want to do this as just a reminder of who God is and what who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. And in a few weeks, we'll have an opportunity to spend some more time in this as we talk about Jesus' death and resurrection with Good Friday and Easter Sunday. But for now, we're just reminded that this wafer represents his body that was broken for you and for me, and this blood that was shed in this juice. And it's not just a reminder of all that he's done, also a reminder that he lives in us, and we take communion. It's a reminder that Jesus lives. His Holy Spirit is alive and well for anybody that calls Jesus Lord. Let me pray and you can receive prayer. God, thanks. Thanks for the words of wisdom in Proverbs, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and that knowledge, that true knowledge, is of you, of how you love, that we're one of your kids, that you guide, you provide. But God, where that awe, where that respect, where that pursuit, where we fall short, God, what I love about you is wherever there's a gap in our lives, you're a gap filler. And we take one step towards you, all we need, you fill in the gap. And so God, we come before you. We thank you for what you've done. We thank that you never leave our side. We're in awe of all that you continue to do in our lives. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You're free to sit or stand and receive prayer.